This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Doug and Daddy Show, Monday edition, May 11th. 1-1. Man, what's going to happen when it's 11-11 on May 11th? What's going to happen when it's 11-11 on November 11th?
It'd probably be warmer.
Glad to have you along with us, Doug Duda, along with Jim Langan. Coming up on the show today, we've got plenty to talk about. We've got state soccer, we've got district track, we've got the Huskers. We're going to talk to Dirk Chatelain in the next break from the Omaha World Herald about a variety of things. He's been busy watching kids and working and doing everything, and today works out for him to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll also talk with Jess McHarg, Lexington boys soccer coach. This is... And again, I don't even know if I could research this. Is it the first time we've ever had a local team be the number one seed in the state tournament? I don't think Grand Island's boys were the number one seed. If any of you soccer folks know, but I think boys, girls, this probably is the first time we've had a number one seed in the A and B boys or girls soccer tournament, and it's Lexington. All of their five losses to Class A competition.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking about this. And Grand Island, if there was one, it had to be Grand Island. And I think they were not. I think they were like a two or three seed. Mm-hmm. And quite a few times in a row, you know, Doug. But I could be definitely wrong on this.
Well, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard because, I mean, you take, for instance, this year's Kearney girls. They're 18-2. They're the five seed. Why? It's strength. It's Omaha schools play more Omaha schools, obviously. Their power points are naturally going to be higher. And even with all the upsets that happen on the boys' side, I mean, it's tough to get up there unless you're an Omaha school. They're almost always the number one seeds, whether it's A or B. Obviously, there's more of a chance in A because there's more schools, but you got plenty of B schools out there. So we'll talk to Chess about that as well. But I want to start the show with this, Jimmy.
Okay.
We got almost every sport. There's a ton of different sports.
Okay, let's go with
wrestling, softball, stuff that's not in season right now.
All right, let's go. Let's go with a lot of them. How many of you got? Let's go.
Here's
eight or eight or under. I'm gonna go 8.5.
Here's what I got for you. Here's something we haven't talked about in a while.
Okay. No, not bowling.
No, it's not bowling. Oh. Bowling season over.
As far as you know.
But I mean, heck, they could step up and win non-collegiate things. But this isn't bowling. Tom Littell, sophomore from Elm Creek. Second place finish. Did well at the Dickinson State University Blue Hawk Stampede Collegiate Rodeo. That's where Hastings College competed over the weekend. Teammate Tucker White thrived in the stair wrestling, finishing first in the first round, sixth in the short, fourth in the average. So going to get to go to the Collegiate National Rodeo Final. So Tucker making history as a Bronco, being the third qualifier and second individual in the program's history to qualify for nationals. Caitlin Reese, fifth in the average in the tie-down roping. Tyler Davis, a freshman out of Jackson, Nebraska, fourth in the average team roping. Tucker White's from Hershey, and Tom Littell is from Elm Creek. So congratulations to those guys. I have to be honest, I don't know where Jackson, Nebraska is, but I've got a pretty good area guess, like it'd be on Highway 2 somewhere west of Amherst. I don't know.
Let's look that up. That's something we got to look up. We're going to have to look that up before the show's over. Jackson, Nebraska. I know Jackson, Mississippi. I've heard of Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Jackson, no, we had no Jackson, Nebraska.
Check it out.
Jackson, Nebraska. They have not been in the state tournament. I know that.
Producer Caleb is all over it, and he has informed me, and shame on me. Scott Steinbrook, who's going to join us on the show tomorrow, Caleb says that the Kearney boys were the number one seed in 2009.
Okay.
So there you go. Grand Isle was number two in 2013. He's been working the research department back there, but thanks for that. So there you go. That's 6 years ago.
You should have got that one.
Big week for you, buddy. I mean, this April-May thing, this is a big month, 6 weeks. You marry off a daughter, you graduate your son, you're getting ready for baseball. I mean, how are you handling all this? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. To be honest with you, I knew it was coming.
You're right here.
No, I knew it was.
Right there.
I wasn't right there during the dance that we had a dance, you know, where it's called a daddy-daughter dance.
Oh, yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't handle that real well at the end. That was a little emotional, so that went up a little bit. And, you know, I think when Chris leaves the house in August, you know, that's a little bit, I mean, they graduate. I mean, it really, you just go to the parties and you see him, and the next day he's sleeping in your house. You know what I mean? I mean, so it's really not, you know. But I think when he leaves the house, that's going to be pretty tough. That's going to be a tough day.
And you got to, you know, you'll probably watch him play about 60 ball games this summer.
Oh, yeah. And that'll be hard, too. Like every time he comes up to bat, because he strikes out. He does strike out, but he very seldom takes his bat in a nice manner to the dugout when that does happen. that's a little hard to watch.
He's maturing.
Oh, yeah. He's maturing. I'll say that. Yeah, he didn't handle it. Rolled over when he was 5 years old. And something pretty. I remember when he was 5 years old, Doug. So, yeah.
I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day. Hope all the graduations that went on this past weekend, everybody was safe, sound, fun. And then we got a whole bunch more of them this week. We've got district track coming up, state track next week. Grand Island plays for a district baseball championship today against Lincoln Southwest. So best of luck to them.
Yeah, that game was 1-0 against Fremont. Grand Island beat Fremont 1-0.
Was it Bergen?
Yeah,
beat Bergen.
Yeah, 1-0. Yeah, thank you. The Han kid from Fremont pitched. So. But, yeah, the good point. 1-0 game, a three-hitter. Both pitchers had, I think, the Fremont pitcher threw 8 innings of shutout ball.
And that's the thing, whether it's Legion or whether it's high school baseball, that first round is so dangerous because Archbishop Bergen, let's face it, they've got to be. Now, I don't know all the details. I would imagine if Fremont was with them, then they would be Fremont. But they have to be because they're A. So they must be co-op, but they call him Archbishop Bergen. But the bottom line is, you know, you just need one. If you can get that one pitcher, sometimes there's just collegiate pitchers at the high school level that's just going to shut you down. I mean, this baby's scoreless. You go to the 10th, you finally get into the bullpen, and there you go. By the way, we've been told by Ricky that Jackson, I guess I've been through Jackson. I'm now embarrassed. It is on Highway 20 just west of South Sioux City.
I've never been there. Yeah.
I think I've been there. I think Jackson a few years ago got thumped by a tornado.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So anyway, there you go.
No,
thanks, Ricky.
Yeah. The Southwest is already qualified for state. They've already got a wild card. So it'll be interesting to see if they throw a pitcher, you know, or if they save their pitchers for the state baseball tournament. So that'll be an interesting scenario.
I'll bet they'll bring one or two. Now, they won 22-1 on Saturday, whether they use their one or not.
No. They won up. Yeah, they probably won them.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's the phone number to call. You can tweet us anytime at ESPN 1460 1550, or you can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. For your hockey fans out there, Storm fans, Sioux City has taken the first two games of the Clark Cup Finals. They're 1-1 away from claiming the Clark Cup, winning them both over the weekend. And what are you? No NHL tonight. I'm not going to get as razzed on the NHL as I did the NBA last week for setting out, having 3 days off in between games. That's just the way this thing has worked out in the NHL. They're playing every night. The series are playing every other night, but you had teams that have closed out that would have played tonight that they've closed out their series. Not the case in the NBA. Did you watch any of the NBA? You think there's been some exciting games and some different style of basketball? Your Clippers – I want to give you credit. You picked the Clippers to win the whole thing, and I wouldn't bet against them right now because we kind of both agreed that whoever came out of the West was going to win the NBA title. Thought Cleveland would be on the other side, kind of rooting for Washington. But the Clippers look really good. They got past San Antonio. I thought either one of those could win the West.
I thought whoever won that series probably would win the whole thing. But, you know, yeah, the Clippers look really good. And LeBron hit a big shot. Man, a tremendous buzzer beater, you know, against the Bulls. So, you know, I don't know who's going to win that series. The Bulls and the Cavaliers, to me, that thing's 50-50 still. I would be really surprised if Houston could beat the Clippers three straight. Just the way that's going, that would really surprise me. Nothing else really has surprised me except for the number one seeds have struggled a little bit here taking charge.
Well, Golden State could go down 3-1 tonight.
Correct.
And that's going to be – I'm not saying that they couldn't come back and beat Memphis, but they could not come back, beat Memphis, and then beat the Clippers or Houston. I mean, if the Clippers finish this thing out. A couple of things from over the weekend. Yes, we had three buzzer beaters. Two of them were banked in. Don't ever compare Derrick Rose to Michael Jordan ever, ever, ever again. Anybody, ever. He banked in a 26-footer. Okay? Congratulations. Paul Pierce threw one up, banked it in. Bottom line is games were tied. These games were all tied. They weren't going to lose if they missed these shots at the end. Great shots, don't compare them to legendary shots. And one thing I saw twice that was just blatant over the weekend, and one of them was in that Washington-Atlanta series that led right up to the eventual game-tying three late. Jimmy, explain to me, as an official, how you can fall down with a basketball and it is no longer traveling. We have let so much get away in the game of basketball. The extra step now has become two steps. You can break down so many things, but one of the easiest calls in the history of basketball is if you fall down with the basketball, that is traveling. And I saw twice, including late in that Hawks-Wizard game, where it would have been it. We wouldn't have had the dramatics of Paul Pierce. That would have been the game. What your thoughts when you see something like that?
I don't know. In the NBA, I know they have different rules. And it is absolutely amazing. When I got that rule book out and tried to study it and ref, and I learned as I went, sometimes I'd make a call and all 10 players and all 14 coaches were going, hold it. And my other official would run up to me, what did you have? And I go, here's what he did. He goes, you can do that. And I go, okay. Then we got an inadvertent whistle. And one of them was a player was on his knees with the ball and he stood up. And I called him for traveling. And everybody knew you could do that. You can't do that in NCAA. You can't do that in high school. So very interesting to find out in the NBA. I didn't see your play. Whether or not if a guy can fall down with the basketball or not. I don't know. When I saw that, I thought, God, was that one that I would have missed too? Because the thing of it is they don't fall down very much. They're so strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times they get bumped. And if a player gets bumped and you don't want to call a foul on him, okay, so you don't want to call a foul because he just got bumped. So you don't want to call the foul. So what are you going to call if the guy takes an extra step in when he's getting his balance? You just keep your whistle out of your mouth and you move on. So
that's the one in this Hawks game because he wasn't bumped. He's going on a crossover trying to attack. His foot gives out. So he's not bumped. When your foot gets out, you obviously slide on the floor.
Right.
So it wasn't like you fell down and didn't move. Then he's able to make a pass, which shows movement on the ground, elbow. I mean, everything that we've been grown up learning the game of basketball and then playing the game of basketball and then eventually officiating the game of basketball was thrown out the window watching that play.
I was amazed they didn't call traveling on that. I do know if he didn't have the ball. A player can slide from here to Brady, Nebraska with the basketball. You can slide. If the ball's loose and you dive for it, you can actually slide. Because to keep it. And, I mean, if you're we'll just say Arcadia Loop City, if you're there, everybody in there is screaming, travel, travel, travel. Sometimes you're better off calling it, even though it's not on the, I'm going to survive getting out of town tonight.
Because even the coaches aren't sure.
Yeah, exactly. But I would like to, I don't know. So will you ask me a question, and I'm going to tell you the truth. In the NBA, I'm not for sure what the rule is on that. I thought it was travel.
Well,
if I'd had my whistle in my mouth and I was
refereeing
that game.
If they've just decided that that's not traveling in the NBA, then no wonder they never call it. Just scratch it out of the rule book. Just scratch it out. There is no traveling. Do whatever you want.
Well, they do have a rule, and they do tell us to call traveling. Because when I did that, this guy said, hey, we do have traveling. You do call traveling. That's not correct. You call traveling. But if the guy gets by, so if you know, Doug, if I'm guarding you, and you'll probably just have to do a little head fake to get by me. You know what I mean? But if you do get by me, and you get by the guy that's guarding you because you have to play man-to-man, you get an extra step. And that's because you can dunk, see? And it's a little exciting to watch. So you do get that extra step in the NBA after you get by your man.
Well,
that's a rule book.
I got all kinds of people telling me where Jackson, Nebraska is now. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. And I talked about Sioux Falls up 2-0, but they're playing Muskegon. So in case I didn't mention that, we'll take a break. Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald is going to join us. Jess McCard from Lexington is going to join us. We might even have a chance to talk a little district track coming up. So stay with us here on the Doug and Danny Show.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some breaks of sunshine developing today with a high of 57 with a gusty northwest wind. Tonight will fall to 33 with some areas of frost developing in the overnight. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. How's your ears? We're breaking in our new producer, Caleb Henry, so it's fun.
Caleb's doing a great job.
Yes,
and
if
that's the only mistake he makes, next time do that with AC/DC if you can. You know, if I'm used to them being a little loud.
Hey, don't forget, Monday at the Chicken Coop in Kearney is Coop Koozie night. You can buy the Coop Koozie for $5, and you don't have to do it every Monday. You just buy it once. As long as you don't lose it, you can bring it in every Monday night, put in 12-ounce cold ones for only $1 all night long while you're watching your favorite sporting events, the NBA, when the NHL is on, even though they're off tonight, Major League Baseball, the Royals play in Texas, whatever the case may be. And, of course, enjoy the vast variety of awesome items on the menu. The newest is duck wings. These are Maple Leaf Farm Raised Ducks. They bring the wings in. You put them in your favorite sauce just like you do the chicken. wings. You can add the new mango habanero, the latest sauce to come down the pike at the Chicken Coop. So, Coop Koozie Night. Watch your favorite sports. Play some Keno if you want to. Enjoy the game room downstairs. It's all there for you at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. The best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. Of course, in Omaha, if you're going to eat duck, you go to the Bohemian Cafe. Dirk Chatelain, Omaha World Herald, joins us. Dirk, you ever been to the Bohemian Cafe? Did we lose Dirk?
Hey, Dirk. Here.
Hey, buddy, you ever been to the Bohemian Cafe?
No Bohemian Cafe for me. I'm sorry.
We'll work that out.
It doesn't quite, in my world, it doesn't quite measure up to Los Solomillo and the Drover. So.
Well, also, outstanding places. I also want to know the last time you were called Mr. Chatelain.
Yeah, that was a little bit uncomfortable. Caleb needs to work on that a little bit.
We'll get him going here. Dirk, a lot of things that we could talk about, and the Mad Chatter has been right on top here the last couple of weeks. Of course, last week with so much going on with the fight and the derby and all the other things, but you do such a great job from the national to the local. You even mentioned how big a Lexington boys sub-state soccer game is, which would only be mentioned if it was going to make a difference on what was going on in Omaha, and it actually did.
Yeah, wasn't that interesting? I mean, the wild card point system is just kind of accepted. You know, it's been a couple decades now since they implemented that in most sports, and I think people just kind of accept that it's going to be a little chaotic at the end of the season trying to figure out the points. But this soccer situation this past weekend was about as wild as it gets, because typically you don't have quite that much uncertainty at the end of the season, especially when you've got a sub-state round in Class B that's a little bit new to everybody. And Papillion Vista South and Omaha Creighton Prep were sure sitting on pins and needles waiting for the score of that Lexington game.
There has been so much going on in the last couple of weeks that I kind of want to ask you what actually stuck out to you. What was most intriguing to you of all these things that have been going on the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think the NBA playoffs is pretty high on the list. And then the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight was obviously a big topic, even for people who don't follow boxing a whole lot. I mean, I don't consider myself a boxing purist, but I watched the fight like 100 million Americans did or whatever. And, it was interesting because I thought it was a bad night for boxing. And there's actually quite a bit of disagreement, on that issue. In today's World Herald, there's a column by Tony Boone, who's our boxing writer, talking about boxing's renaissance period and how Bud Crawford's kind of a part of the spearhead for that. And I think there's some good points that Tony makes, but I found the disagreement over the fight to be pretty interesting. And then, this afternoon, the Tom Brady thing is going to come out, and that'll probably dominate the news cycle for about 24, 48 hours at least. So, I think that'll be really interesting. I expect him to probably get a 2-4-game suspension, and that should take some buzz out of the opening night of the season when the Steelers and the Patriots meet.
You know, when you're talking about boxing and the history of it, it's a sport that has actually changed a little bit because of the interest, and I think people don't support it like they did. And I'll give you an example of this. In the horse racing industry, they had the Kentucky Derby, and they had it for 50 years, and that's the way most people traveled. They traveled by horses. I mean, cars hadn't really taken off. They're only going 60 miles an hour. And the Indianapolis 500 then came in later after that. So, the thoroughbred industry has changed. Explain to me and maybe everybody, why is boxing taking a hit right now? ESPN has other things they put on TV before they put on boxing, or bowling. Bowling, for instance, in the 1950s was bigger than it is now. You got an explanation for this?
Well, I don't have a great explanation. I think with boxing, it's a combination of factors. One, I'm sure, is the violence of the sport, which probably isn't appealing as it once was. at least to a certain segment of the population. I think the way that the boxing industry evolved from being something that the everyman could sort of tune into and pay attention to on a weekly basis, versus what it is over the last 20 years, which is just a bunch of nonsense, really. It's really hard to get the top fighters together. They're making, enormous sums of money without producing much of a product. They're not fighting very often. When they do fight, the fights aren't as entertaining as they used to be. It feels sort of like a sham. And I think that's, it has turned off a lot of people. I mean, put it this way. If you ask the typical person on the street who is the most prominent figure in boxing over the last 20 to 25 years, potentially Mike Tyson, they would say potentially Floyd Mayweather, perhaps a couple other fighters, but I bet you a bunch of people would say Don King. And I think that represents, part of why boxing has declined over the last 25, 30 years the way that it has, because it's become more about promotion than the actual product.
Talking with Dirk Chatelain here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Omaha World Herald. We had Tony Boone on last week, talk a little boxing because there was the talk that maybe Crawford would get Pacquiao. Now that's going to be way on the back shelf. Let's get a couple Husker comments here. The athletic year is almost to an end here, and we'll get that month off before we go full force back into football again. But let's start with baseball, Dirk. And, man, I was just you can win every day and you can lose every day, but to lose to Purdue and only get four hits against, this Purdue team is one of the worst teams Nebraska's played all year long, and they're playing for their lives, and to get one run on four hits really kind of leaves me scratching my head. I think this team is going to get into the NCAA tournament. I think it'll be a positive to get as many games as you get, but they sure don't look like they're going to do anything in the Big Ten or the NCAA.
It's going to be really close. I mean, yesterday was a big hit. I mean, there are certain teams you cannot afford to lose to, and Purdue is one of those teams. I mean, they entered that game 2-17 in Big Ten play. Nebraska's playing on its home field on senior weekend. It's almost a must-win situation, and to go out and for the offense to struggle like it did. It's really sort of been the story of the season. And, I'm not sure if they've got, their margin for error now is so small that I don't know if they can. I mean, they're certainly going to have to win the Illinois series. They may have to. My guess is, okay, they've got four regular season games left, and then they've got the Big Ten tournament. If they win the Big Ten tournament, obviously they're in the NCAA tournament. But that's looking pretty unlikely based upon how teams like Iowa and Illinois are playing. Assuming you don't get the automatic berth, they might have to sweep these next four games to get an at-large bid. And that means going to Illinois and perhaps sweeping that series. So it's looking pretty dire. I mean, I think Nebraska's just not, they're just not hitting on all cylinders. I mean, they played well in March. They've played well in midweek games. They just have not swung the bats well enough in these Big Ten series. I mean, to have to be under 500 in Big Ten play, even though the Big Ten is better than usual, but that's really an alarming number, and very unexpected based upon what they have this year, the experience that they have this year, and also it being the fourth year there in Erstad, I really expected more.
You know what we said earlier, and Doug and I talked about this with other people, that if you looked at Nebraska's, the way they were winning a lot of games by one run against people, against people that they were a far superior opponent to, but they were winning by one run. And we talked and said, hey, this could be trouble. I mean, because we're not beating people like, when you beat somebody in baseball, you beat them 6-0. Sometimes you're in complete control, but when you're winning 5-4 and you're hanging on or you're scoring in the late innings to win those things, those are 50-50 games that you're beating people that don't have that good of a record. So I'm not surprised. Surprised that this happened. I'm surprised they lost to Purdue, but I'm not surprised that eventually we were going to be in a situation here where Nebraska was going to have to win about 5 out of 7 baseball games to get into the NCAA tournament. Is that what you're, is that your thinking too?
Well, you know, it's puzzling. I mean, the pitching has been pretty good. I mean, they're second in the league in ERA, and that's a whole season stat. You know, it's the bats, and I don't know exactly. I wish I had a better explanation for that. I mean, I'm not following it every day, like Johnny Atala is for us. But you know, Nebraska they're hitting .260 in Big Ten play, which is third to last in the league. They're third in ERA in pitching. This is just conference only stats. So even though they're 9-11 or whatever they are now, they're third in the league in ERA, but they're third to last in team batting average. The offense has just failed to show up in critical Big Ten series. You know, the Iowa series, for example. I mean, they're going to Illinois next week. I don't know if they're swinging well enough to, you know, to put up more than 2 or 3 runs a game against Illinois. You know, this is just—it's the Purdue loss is bad, but it's a bigger picture than that. I mean, they're really struggling. And for you know, Darren Erstad, the greatest hitter in program history, arguably next to Alex Gordon and Ken Harvey. I mean, he's right in that conversation. To have an offense struggling like this is really surprising. And disappointing, again, considering where this thing is in the rebuilding process.
And bottom line is, if Nebraska wins today, they're going to be in the Big Ten tournament. They would be 3 games clear of Minnesota, and no matter what happens next weekend, they own the tiebreaker. Just another minute here with Dirk Chatelain from the Omaha World Herald. Dirk, overall, I was thinking about this the last couple of days, and I thought it would be an interesting topic to broach to you. It wasn't a disaster. I'm talking for a season overall, all sports for Nebraska. But if you could name me one sport outside of bowling, which won the national championship, and that's a stretch, can you name me one sport that overachieved or even lived up to expectations this past year? Football fires their coach. Obviously, baseball is not where they want to be. They were picked 2nd in the conference. Volleyball's short. Both basketballs are short. Women you can maybe blame on an injury. But this wasn't the best year for Nebraska athletics.
No, I'm actually writing about that today for the blog. And you know, the oddity of it is, I feel like the mood of the fan base is pretty positive, you know, considering what you're talking about. I mean, I feel like, you know, the average fan is pretty satisfied with, you know, with Tim Miles, with Darren Erstad, with now Mike Riley, with Tommy Ory, with John Cook. I mean, there seems to be a general satisfaction, at least among, you know, casual Nebraska athletic fans about the state of the athletic department. And yet the results on the field, which is really where it matters, has been terribly disappointing. So I feel like, you know, maybe there's a little bit of forgiveness based upon the likability of some of these coaches, but that's going to ramp up pretty quick, I would think, here in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. I mean, I think Nebraska's got to start showing it on the actual field. And football's obviously sort of in its own class, because that's the one everybody pays attention to, and there's 90,000 people in the seats and all that. But I feel like as you mentioned, it's sort of a story that goes across the entire department right now. And they've got to start winning. You know, it's not enough just to be likable.
Yeah, you know, Doug brought up a great point, and I thought of something which is kind of interesting. When he talked about some of the major sports, you know, football probably lived up to exactly what they should do. I mean, I will say that. The football team, I mean, if you...
Well, wins and losses.
Yeah, with wins and losses. Now, I'm not saying that that's what the people wanted. 9 games isn't enough, but as far as this year... Well, you know, this year, just going in, and what everybody on the outside, I'm talking about the media of the Big Ten's going, hey, where do you think the Nebraska Huskers are going to fit in here? They said, hey, they'll win about that many games. They'll finish about this place. They'll go to maybe the Holiday Bowl. I mean, that's about where they had them picked. But, you know, the basketball team, the men's basketball team, they definitely didn't think was not going to be in the NCAA tournament. That would have been a team they thought would have been in for sure. So I thought a good question by Doug, and I think answered by you very well.
Yeah, you know, it's looking forward again. I feel like, and you guys may have a different perspective on it, but there does seem to be, you know, there does seem to be optimism. I mean, I feel, you know, I feel like the people are hopeful based upon sort of the infrastructure, the resources, the coaching staffs, et cetera. But there's a divide right now between, sort of public perception of the athletic department and actual performance of the athletic department. And again, I think over the next 12 to, you know, 24 months or 18 months or whatever, that's got to get corrected. Because, you know, at some point this has to be more than just, you know, making people wave the flag on Saturday afternoon. You've got to provide an experience that people can rally behind. And you know, it was a really tough year for that. I think men's basketball would be sort of probably the best representative of that disappointment. But as you noted, it sort of cuts across, you know, just about every major sport.
How'd your hosting go last week?
Oh man, it's brutal. I don't know how you guys do it. You know, I was hosting Michael Sevier's show, The Bottom Line, on Monday afternoon, and you know, I had Chad Mustard come in for about an hour and a half. He's a Bellevue East boys basketball coach and former Broncos tight end, and so he helped out. But you know, doing this, you know, it's one thing to do it with two guys in the booth, but when you're all alone in there, it's time moves slower than it did back in high school physics class. I mean, it's just brutal. Trying to, you know, every little 2 second pause feels like about a 2 minute pause.
There's no doubt about it. Well, it all comes with the territory. Dirk, we'll let you get rolling. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk again soon. All right.
Take care, guys. Thanks a lot.
Check out Mad Chatter, folks, and of course The Bottom Line, which airs 2 to 6 from the World Herald. Dirk's on there weekly as well. Dirk Chatlin here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We need to take a break. We're going to take, you got a comment before we go to break?
What a great line to use. You and I will use this a lot. Time's going slower than it did in high school physics class.
We're going to talk to Jess McCard, Lexington Soccer. Also, Nancy Bitfield, Kennesaw Track towards the end of the program. We'll be right back.
Doing it right makes such a difference. Goodwill.
The story behind the Goodwill store. My story is about my journey of recovery. 5 years ago, addiction, major depressive disorder, and severe arthritis left me feeling hopeless. But with Goodwill's effective programs and compassionate, dedicated staff, I became hopeful my life could be different. Today, I am managing my illness, and life is good for me and my family. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Goodwill is celebrating people. People living life to the fullest, accomplishing goals and realizing dreams, what we all strive for. What Goodwill helps people do every day. Donate, shop, be part of the story. Life is definitely good for me and future generations.
Doing it right makes such a difference.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Nichols Repair, Lammers Trucking, and the Pit Stop, all of Pleasanton, would like to extend a great salute to the area high school graduates of the class of 2015. Way to go, and best wishes for a bright future.
Broadfoot Sand and Gravel is the company that rocks, and the class of 2015 rocks too. Best of luck in all you do. May your futures be all that you want them to be from everyone at Broadfoot Sand and Gravel in Kearney.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Folks, don't forget T&L Irrigation is there for you every day of the year. Sometimes it's December, you're going, how are they there for you? They're there for you for preventative maintenance, getting you ready for the spring. They're there for you when you're looking at a new machine. They're there for you when you're trying to expand your operation. And, of course, when they have them in the field for you, they're there to make your crop better. They're like no other. So find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system, superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons you need a T&L in your field. As always, contact your local T&L dealer or go to TLIRR.com. T&L, like no other. Just like this Lexington boys soccer team, they're trying to become like no other and make the first final in school history, and they are the number one seed, one of the few times any area team has been a number one seed. And Coach Jess McCarg joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Jim Langan, and Jess, congratulations to you and the boys.
Oh, thank you very much. We're excited.
Well, it was a dreary weather day on Saturday, but you guys didn't let that bother you. You went out and you took care of business. Just kind of talk about your postseason.
Well, right now, we're definitely firing on all cylinders. Our back line and our midfield have been playing great defense. We've had great keeper play, and we've been scoring goals. Scoring goals makes you win games, and right now we're doing a lot of all of that. So you add it all together, and we got a pretty good team.
I chuckle because when you look at the stats on Max Preps, some have a bunch of information, some don't have any information, and you look at the entire roster, forward, midfielder, goalie, you got one kid listed as striker, and he is, Kevin Andre, obviously leads your team in goals.
Yeah, he came out with a vengeance this year. We kind of had a bad taste in our mouth after how our district final ended, and he came out, and he's got a dream and he's kind of motivated everyone else. Saying, we want to go back to the state tournament. We really want to compete this year. And he's playing exceptional soccer. I think my favorite game so far is the Lincoln Lutheran one where he had three assists and then got his goal in the 76th minute. I think that just shows that he's the complete package and he's willing to put the team first.
Yeah, Coach, go ahead and mention some other players, too, while you're on the air. They'd like to hear their names on the air, and so do we.
Well, right now our senior leader's in the back, Lori Garcia. He's been our captain since July. He's got his defense well organized. Other seniors that are playing extremely well right now, Mauricio Santos, kind of our set-piece guy. He's got a leg, and he's proven to be something else. And we've had a lot of contribution from our freshmen. Luis Cruz, I think he's got almost 15 assists or something on the year. So we've got guys who have just bought into this idea of family, and I could go on and on and list you the whole team, but I think if I just say the Minutemen football program, they know who I'm talking about.
And we're talking with Jess McCarg here of Lexington. The boys' soccer team is the number one seed. They're going to draw Hastings in the first round. We'll talk about all this offense. The goaltending numbers may be skewed, and I know we'll get into this Class A stuff, but that's probably one of the reasons why. But against the Class B competition, kind of talk about your goaltending.
We've had a real tough battle. We've gone back and forth. Both our goalies right now are sophomores. We've told them from the get-go, it's just going to be whichever guy has the best training week and improves it in the training sessions, and then he'll earn the chance to start. And Ruben Gonzalez has just proven that
You know, he rose to the occasion. He got the chance to start, and he's kind of just kept that position here the last five or six games.
Jess, let's talk about Hastings. It's a 1-8 matchup that for our area, everybody's probably pretty happy because it's guaranteeing somebody's moving on to the semifinals. But when you look at rematches, Hastings kind of got hot there right before the end of the season. They beat you, or you beat them by one. They beat Kearney. I mean, they're both going to state. What was it that gave you a little bit of trouble against Hastings?
You know, the score, 3-2, is a little misleading. We were playing on a wet pitch, and actually in the 78th minute, we gave up a PK, slipped and fell on the ball. It was a great call. I didn't have a problem with it. And, I mean, so we'll see what happens. I know Hastings got a little bit of advantage. They've been playing on turf the last five or six games. We'll just see. I know Hastings is geared up for a rematch. I know my guys are ready to be back in the state tournament. So it's going to be a fun one. That's going to be a battle for 80 minutes. There's no question about that.
Plus, Coach, I look at your schedule, too, and when you look at some of your losses, you lost to Creighton Prep and Omaha South early. you could have played UCLA and USC, I think. You know, it didn't matter, you know, but those are some tough losses there, but kind of geared you up for the rest of the season. And you haven't given up many goals lately at all in your last six games. So I think evidently defensively you're playing fairly well, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of the year, we love having those early games. It's a great judge to see where we're going to be. And we dealt with some suspensions early on, so we didn't have our full squad. You know, I would love another chance to play Creighton Prep, Omaha South, now that we're clicking kind of on all cylinders. But, you know, I'm super proud of the team. I would take them anywhere. We'll travel anywhere and play at any time. So we're looking forward to this opportunity.
Just another minute here with Jess McHarg, Lexington, with that number one next to your name. That's different than Lexington kids have had. Let's face it, because of what happened last year in the forfeits, that's basically what kept you out of the state tournament. The school had been there with six straight years for this boys team, so I know they're all fired up. But how do you see the state tournament as a whole, and how can you guys get to the championship on Monday?
You know, we've had the same mentality starting our season off at Benson that we brought into the Lincoln Lutheran game. It's one game at a time. The most important game is the game that we're stepping on the pitch to play at any given time. So we're worried about Hastings. The rest will come. If we're lucky enough to win it, then we'll move on to the next game, whoever that may be. But we're going to take it one step at a time, and we're going to do it as a family. That's what we've been preaching since July. But there's 66 guys in the program. 24 will be suited up on Wednesday. And without all of them, we probably wouldn't be where we're at now.
And you can correct me, but I've scanned this three or four times here. Hastings is the only team in the Class B field that you've played, correct?
No. I mean, we have we play other schools. I mean, the Kearney Catholic.
Well, I'm talking that's at the state tournament. Norris, oh, Scott, Mount tournament. Michael, Gretna, Elkhorn, South Scotus. I don't think you played any of those, did you? Will that make it tougher?
We don't play any of those eastern schools. So it's just us and Hastings representing central and western Nebraska.
And finally, just the feeling. I mean, being the number one, being the favorite. Let's face it, most of the time, any of the schools from out here go out. They're the underdog, no matter what the seed is by their name. Omaha always thinks that they've got better programs. Can you feel the confidence from your team right now?
We haven't even talked about it. Like I said, we're taking it one game at a time. I'm sure the guys talk about it, but when we have training sessions or we're together as a team, there's not even a conversation. We like the idea that we're still the underdog. People don't think we belong in the number one seed. We don't belong in state. So we just got something to prove, and we're just going to go play our game, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, you belong. There's no doubt that you belong. Are you going to get there early enough to watch the Bearcats?
I still believe blue and gold, so we'll maybe make it down for some of it.
Okay, Coach. We wish you the best of luck and another long run, three more for you guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jess. Jess McHarg, head soccer coach over at Lexington. Now, of course, unless you're a Hastings fan, they want to advance on, and we're going to try and talk a little Hastings soccer here in the next couple of days as well, talk to the Kearney coaches, get it all covered. So a lot going on, but let's face it, Jimmy. I mean, when you go in as number one, for that first time, it's so much different than going in as 7-8. You're just trying to hope to maybe win a game. Lexington is trying to win a state title.
Yeah, good point. You know, I'll tell you what, though, Hastings, the way they play, like you said, this isn't a team that played well early and then has struggled late. Hastings is really playing well at this time. And
thumped Ralston Saturday. Thumped them.
I expect it to be a very tight game. I mean, this is not a even though Lexington's the number one seed, this is not a great draw. Now, these people, I mean, let's face it, soccer in the East probably looks a little different in the West. But this would be a very, very good game, I would think, between these two teams.
I'm sure Elkhorn South, who is on this side of the bracket,'s got to be jumping up and down. That's what they're thinking. Woo, woo, we play SCOTUS, then we get the Lexington-Hastings winner. Woo, woo, we're in the final. Yeah. We'll find out. We're going to take another break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talk a little track. We've got district coverage throughout the week. We're going to head to Kennesaw, talk a little bit about the D7 with Nancy Bitfield next.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, your Midway Auto Group, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, and online at thinkmidway.com with all the graduations going on. Plenty of the college graduations went on this past weekend. The folks at Midway want you to know that you've earned something special, and now you can own something special. The 2015 Chrysler College Grad Program offers you special incentives. If you've graduated from college in the last 2 years, or will graduate in the next 6 months, or if you're currently enrolled in a master's or doctoral program, you are eligible. When you purchase a brand-new Chrysler vehicle, you'll receive an extra $500 cash allowance. The Chrysler 200, 300, Town and Country offer you the ideal blend of style, performance, and efficiency. So check it out at your Midway Auto Dealership and take advantage of this offer as you have earned it as the graduate. Congratulations, graduates, from your Midway Auto Group. Doug Duda, along with the man Jimmy Langan, here on today's Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to be all over the place covering district track this week. On Wednesday, it's classes A and D. The D6 will be at Heartland. The D7 will be at Kennesaw. And then on Thursday, it's the classes B and C will be in Broken Bow and at Sandy Creek. And I'll be over at Kennesaw, where we always have a good time. And Nancy Bitfield is the track coach of the Blue Devils. She joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Are we all ready to go?
I think we are. As long as the weather cooperates, we should be good.
Yeah, I see wind and possible rain in the forecast. There's not a whole lot of room to move it around, but we'll do our best. Let's hope that the kids have good conditions to run in, because they kind of have the last couple of weeks. They like these conditions in the 60s. How much of a difference do you think the actual weather makes for the top of the line athletes, because let's face it, it affects their seating, it affects where they're placed when they get down to Omaha.
The kids have enjoyed these cooler temperatures. I know when it gets a little hotter, which it will probably be in Omaha, it usually affects them, but adrenaline will play a part probably on Wednesday, so I think we should be good.
Well, let's start with your team before we move into the districts. Give us a little breakdown of the boys and girls and coming out of conference, how you think the kids have been doing.
We have been very strong this year, so I've been really pleased with the kids. We have a few events on the girls' side that may be state qualifiers. And then on the boys' side, they have kind of picked up where we left off last year and look very strong in the sprints. We have a couple relays we're hoping to get down. We have a good shot putter who will be, I'd be surprised if he doesn't make it down. So, and then some field events. So we're looking pretty strong.
Coach, how about, is there any events in the girls or boys where you look at it and go, we are overloaded here with talent? I mean, this is going to just be an amazing event.
Well, the Snitzler boys are doing pretty good, and we have Preston in the 100, and then both of them are, Preston and Austin are both in the 200, and then we have Austin in the 400. So otherwise, I think we've got some good runners, one or two or three good runners in the top spots, so hopefully we'll get them down.
We're talking with Nancy Bitfield, track coach over at Kennesaw. Again, all the action is rolling on for them this Wednesday. We'll have updates here on ESPN and Classic Hits 98.9. Overall, just taking that, what Jimmy was saying, maybe a stepfather coach, as far as all the schools combined, now that you've seen the entries, where do you see a couple of the tougher events, whether it's field events or on the track, just because of all the talent that will be coming in from these schools?
Well, I know the events that we are looking to take state qualifiers, we have competition. I mean, our 4x1, our 4x4, the 100, 200, 400, 800, they all look really tough right now. Triple jump and long jump for the boys looks really tough. We have one of our girls is placing second right now in the long jump. So, I mean, every place it seems that we have a good contender, so does everyone else.
Well, I guess that's kind of what makes it fun. And for the folks out there, these are the teams that will be over at Kennesaw on Wednesday. A heavy dose of Fort Kearney, which Kennesaw used to be a part of, but you got a couple from the Twin Valley. You got Alma, Axtell, Bertrand, Elm Creek, Kennesaw, Loomis, Overton, Shelton, and Wilcox Hildreth. Coach, how much have you seen of these teams this year?
We've seen a few of them. Shelton we've seen a lot of because we're in the same conference. We have seen Elm Creek at one of ours and Axtell. So, you know, quite a few of them are going to be the first time we see them, such as Bertrand and Overton, Loomis, Alma. So it'll be a good meet. It'll be fun to come watch and see how everybody competes. But we've seen about half the squads we've seen.
We always like to have a little fun with guesstimation out there. Team titles, this is one of those times, district wrestling and district track are a couple of those sports where team titles are nice, but you need to get the kids down to Omaha. Which school looks to be the strongest on the boys' side and the girls' side coming in?
I would say on the boys' side, it'd probably be us and Bertrand. Looks pretty close, you know, in the events that I have seen so far. On the girls' side, I don't know. That's kind of Axtell is strong. Bertrand doesn't look like they're doing too bad, so not sure who will take the girls' side on that one.
Field events get underway at 10 a.m. They'll go through all the field events. Running events will begin at 1 o'clock going on at Kennesaw coming up on Wednesday. And, again, we'll have reports on our network of stations all day on Wednesday. There's always that chance that there's those bubble kids. Are there a couple of kids or events that you're really looking at, Nance, going, if they get that PR, maybe we've got a chance to take an extra kid or two down?
We do. I know in the shot we have the shot putter, Zach Edwards, should be gone, we think. But Jake Brunk is right on the bubble. Carson Woodman in the discus. We have Chris Burris in the long, triple, and high jump. So we've got some kids that are just about there. So if they do their PR like they should on Wednesday, we should be taking a few more.
All right. Well, it all sounds good. We can't wait to get over there on Wednesday and see a lot of familiar folks at Kennesaw. Should be a great track meet. Nancy, I'll let you get back to work. Did you get time to have a good lunch today?
Oh, I just skipped lunch today. There's too much to do.
Well, now I feel guilty. We're going to have to send something over to you. I'll call the Silver Dollar and get something down there to you.
Sounds good.
Nance, thanks so much for your time today. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Okay, thanks so much.
Take care, Nancy Bitfield, track coach over at Kennesaw. And again, I'll be at Kennesaw Wednesday and then off to Broken Bow Thursday. Tyson Avronik is going to be on Wednesday up at Heartland, and then on Thursday he'll be over at Sandy Creek, and we'll have updates all day long here on ESPN, KHAS, Classic Hits 98.9. So we've talked about a lot of stuff so far today, but not everything. Not everything.
I got a question for you, Doug.
Fire.
I know you don't want to answer it because when the last time we tried to talk
12.
About it, 12.
Is that
12? That's right? Good. Well, that seems like a lot of games to be suspended for deflating the football. Hey, what do you think is going to happen? Two games?
Two.
That's what I got. One.
Two. You can't.
One home and one away. You can't pick one. You can't have one game because it could be a away game or a home game. But two's what it's going to be. That's what I think, too.
Here's the. We kind of touched on this last week, and
not with me.
I don't want to get overly political, and if I say this wrong, I apologize. But you can't beat your wife and be suspended six games, and deflate a football and be suspended six games. You've got to look at what the NFL has started to set their standards. You have to. You can't be firing guns and get and doing drugs and get eight games. And then get five for deflating the football. I think no matter what happens here, whichever side you're on, it's either you like Tom Brady and the Patriots or you don't. So somebody is going to be unhappy because it's Tom Brady. If it's not enough, they're going to say, oh, it's because it's Tom Brady. I mean, if it was Cam Newton, it would be different. Or if it was Robert Griffin III, it would be different. Or if it was Tony Romo, it would be different. But because it's Tom Brady, this is what it is. Or if it's excessive, they're going to go, oh, they're really trying to make a point and stick it to Tom Brady. So two. Yep. Let's go with two. It's over with. It's done. Mm-hmm. Two games will not. It'll affect the Patriots, but it's not like giving him an overabundance to where it really affects the team, like when you're talking about not having a chance to have a successful season.
Right. And, you know, and I think I tried to look through this and use different examples of, hey, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think in like in car racing, if a guy does something deceptive with his vehicle, the advantage he gains over the rest of the competition, you know, so, you know, I mean, they've done some things in auto racing, you know, they've taken points away. They've done a lot of things to something that you've done with your vehicle. You know what I mean? That has given you an advantage. But that's what's winning the race is. And I look at other things and other. But this was just deceptive. I mean, I think if he would have just came out and said, hey, I like my footballs. Actually did from word go. It says 11 to 13 pounds. But when it's cold outside, it's just like a tire. I always get him down to about 10 and a half. Works a lot better for me. And came out and said that. I don't think the deceptiveness would be, you know, as much. So I think two games is right. I don't think it's going to be zero games. I used to think a couple of months ago it was going to be zero games and they just lose a draft pick or some things like that. Financially, they'd fine him. But I do think it's going to get suspended some games now.
I just find a kind of piggybacking what you're saying.
Yeah.
If all they do is suspend Tom Brady two games, I think you have to feel that it really doesn't hurt the organization as a whole. I know all the other people want it to have an effect on the New England Patriots. New England can still go 2-0 if he's suspended two games, and if that's it, you've affected nothing. Nothing has happened to the New England Patriots. They, the people that think this is very serious, want something to happen, want something to sting, a couple of draft picks, a big draft pick, a first-round draft pick. They want something that is going to make an impact on the Patriots. No matter what the money is, that doesn't make an impact. Yes, taking out one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL will make a small impact, but if they win both games, it means nothing. It means zero.
Right. You know, when I was in college, I went and watched the Pittsburgh Steelers play football, and I wanted to see Terry Bradshaw play, and he played well. You know, but you know, I'm sure the Kansas City Chiefs would just as soon he didn't play that game, you know. But as a fan, you know, when I want, if I get one game, I take in, you and I decided to go to Denver, watch the Nuggets play the Cleveland Cavaliers. We do want to see LeBron play. So there's something about in the NFL, there's some players you'd like to see play, you know. So for a while I didn't think they'd do anything. But I think because people do not like the deceptiveness. I think the deceptiveness is what has got him in trouble, and that's why he's going to be suspended. Yeah,
a lot of mini cheating.
Yes, exactly.
What you look at.
Right.
Before we wrap it up, it's our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend if Alex Rodriguez passing Willie Mays on the home run list is a big deal. 73% said it's not a big deal. 27% said it was. I told you I'd be on the minority on that one. Here's a good one for you. Who had the best NBA playoff buzzer beater over the weekend? There was three of them. Which one did you like the most? When Derrick Rose banked in the three and the Bulls beat Cleveland? Yesterday when LeBron hit one from the corner and Cleveland beat the Bulls? Or Paul Pierce banking one in to beat Atlanta for the Washington Wizards? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Up there all the time is our Midtown Mark cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Was there one you liked better than the others?
I guess I liked all three when I saw them. You know, but I like you. The Rose one, he threw something up and it went in. But it doesn't matter because they were all exciting. You know, they were all exciting and all for different reasons. I suppose LeBron, because he stepped up. You know, what LeBron James does for that team. I mean, and this is a guy that's got a rebound. He's got to get some assists. I mean, he just plays so well and does so many things for him that for him to step up and hit that shot.
Caleb, which one did you like?
Personally, I like the Paul Pierce, but that's just mostly the Kansas background. And he did hit it over three guys.
That's my vote.
He fell down, too, afterwards.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I'm a LeBron fan, so... cool, but for some reason, because of that, because you knew Pierce was getting the ball, I mean, they should have defended LeBron better. My God, who do you think is going to get the ball yesterday?
Well, yeah,
force him into the corner.
But you know what you think about it? All three of those shots, you guys all played basketball. You know how hard all three of those would have been to hit? I mean, yeah, I'd had trouble making a layup at that.
Caleb every day.
Yeah.
Every day, brother. But Paul Pierce, because maybe some of it is the 17 years in the NBA and the way that he handled the interview afterwards when Chris Broussard asked him if he called bank. He said, "I called game."
Is that what he said?
"I called the game." That's what he said. So that was
I like that.
That's fun stuff, too. Yeah. Don't forget Royals' nice win last night to win it 2-1. They take 2-3 from Detroit. They're for real. Through the first 6 weeks of the season, just keep on rolling. They go to Texas. Now they take on a team that's not that good. Let's see how they respond. But it's on the road beginning tonight, 7:10 on the Breeze, 94.5. By the way, the NBA games tonight, Atlanta at Washington, Golden State at Memphis. The Husker game will get going here at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, first pitch 1:05 against Purdue on 12:30 a.m. KHAS. Nebraska softball, winners of 14 of their last 17 games, trying to make it to their third consecutive super regional. It's going to be tough. They play 24th-ranked Arizona State Friday afternoon at 3:30 in Baton Rouge. 5th-ranked LSU will play Texas Southern in the other. I mean, the SEC is so good this year in softball, among all the other sports, but really there as well. One more time on the state soccer. Wednesday at 3 p.m., the Kearney boys play Millard West. Kearney beat Millard West 1-0 to end the regular season. Lexington and Hastings boys Wednesday night at 6, and then at Thursday morning at 9 a.m., it's Millard North and Kearney. So if you're a soccer fan from this area, you can watch three in a row, the two on Wednesday and early on Thursday morning. We told you about Grand Island Baseball playing Lincoln Southwest today in the district championship. Congratulations to the Hastings St. Cecilia and Grand Island Northwest Girls Conference Track Champs. The Kearney High girls tennis team. Imagine that. I don't know how to compare this to anything. We've seen some amazing feats. But for the second straight year, Kearney wins not only the conference championship, they don't drop a match. They go undefeated in all of it. Singles, doubles, 28-0. 10 championships in the last 12 years, and Grand Island Central Catholic boys won the Centennial Conference Golf Championship over the weekend. And there you go. That wraps things up for today's Doug and Daddy Show. Damon Day is going to be in as my co-host tomorrow. We'll be catching up and talking Nebraska baseball tomorrow. We're scheduling Dan Hartlib, Illinois coach, later in the week. We'll talk about UNK track on our Loper Link on Wednesday as they get ready for the Nationals. The qualifying list might be out tonight or tomorrow, and we'll talk about that as well. So plenty going on this week as we continue our chats here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We do want to thank Nancy Bitfield, Kennesaw track coach, also the Lexington boys soccer coach, and Jess McHarg and Dirk Chatlin from the Omaha World Herald for joining us today. Jimmy, have a great weekend. We've also got Preakness to talk this week, too.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that? We haven't brought this up, but that's in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, where all this, the problem. If you've watched Pimlico Racetrack, they are not very many people attending that, you know, right now. Now, they will be on Saturday, but they'll have to make some plans for that because it's in Baltimore.
Interesting. Interesting point. We'll talk about it more as the week progresses. Michelle, you, Gina Bucola, and for all of us here at the Doug and Daddy Show, thanks for listening. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.